Good evening. After talking with, having a discussion with Robin Haley, I'm starting to wonder, does he live on planet Earth? He had never heard of the name Flavor Flav. Well, you would all, that would be just like saying I never heard of Abraham Lincoln, I guess. Speaking of living, we do live on Earth, and we're going to be here for a while, hopefully. When you open up the book of Proverbs, I tend to get a picture of two types of living. One could draw a line, and on one side, you could put the foolish man, and on the other side, you could put the wise man. And once you finish reading through it, you could have characteristics of the wise man and characteristics of the foolish man. Now, all the things that the wise man will do and all the foolish things that the unwise man would do. For example, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." The wise man, he seeks to hear, he wants understanding, he wants to increase his learning, and he seeks what kind of counsel? Wise counsel. Now turn, please, to chapter 18, the same book. Look at the contrast here. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Has no delight, no desire in understanding, but express the things that's on his heart, whether good or bad. Do you see the contrast between the wise man and the foolish man? Have you ever heard the old saying, "What a fool believes"? You probably have. If I remember right, it was probably between 85 and 90 that Michael McDonald wrote a song and sung this song, which became pretty popular, called "What a Fool Believes." As you look through the book of Proverbs and in other places in the Bible, it paints out very clearly the things that a foolish person believes and trusts and follows. First of all, when we think about what a fool believes, let's just flip to an old passage that most of us will probably be familiar with. Let's flip to Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14. So verse number 1. "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good.'" Today, one who says that he doesn't believe in God, that there is no God, he is referred to as an atheist. But the Bible looks at him here, and the Bible refers to that type of person as a fool. As a fool. The word "their fool" carries within it the meaning of impious, wicked, vile. What a fool believes. And as you look through the book of Proverbs talking about the fool, I don't believe he's talking about a man who doesn't have the intellect to understand right and wrong, the intellect to be able to make the right decision, the intellect to do the things that are right. But it seems to be the one who chooses to do his own thing. One who chooses to force out of his mind everything around him that has to do with right and wrong, has to do with God, creation. For here it says that the fool says there is no God. What a fool believes. One would have to walk around in this world being foolish to believe that there is no God. Every morning you wake up and there's the sun, and there's the trees, On a day like this, you feel the wind blowing, cool breeze. And you get up early enough in the morning, you can hear the birds singing. All these things should remind you and should remind me, and it should remind the foolish man that there is a God. But the scripture says the fool said there is no God. What a fool believes. It's a very foolish thing to make this statement and to believe that there is no God. From time to time, while outdoor knocking, I know Richard and Steve have made the mention, and I know Richard and I have throughout the years, we've knocked doors and we've been surprised when someone comes to the door and says, and you begin to talk with me, give them the literature, and they take it, and then they say, I don't believe in God. But how foolish to go through this life. How foolish to go from day to day to rise up and see the sun. From day to day to look at the beautiful body and how it's structured, how complex it is. From day to day to see the sunset and rise from day to day and say to yourself, there is no God. That's what a fool believes. A foolish man looks into the facts. He sees everything there that point towards a designer, a creator, a divine power. And he says, just don't believe there is a God. What a fool believes. Psalms chapter 10. In Psalm chapter 10, starting at verse number 3. The wicked boasts of his heart's desires. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. For here's a man who seems to be living as a fool. But God is in none of his thoughts. He does not seek God. And probably, most likely, has the doubts as to whether God exists. What a fool believes. A fool believes that there is no God. Psalms chapter 53. Psalms 53. Is repeated again in Psalm chapter 53, which is stated there in Psalm 14. Sorry, verse number 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquities. There is none who does good. I've always liked to believe that many times in the scripture, when something is repeated over and over again, repetition, there's something that are very, very important and a lesson to be learned from. Here's a beautiful lesson once more again, reminding us that there is a God, and that if you say that there is no God, then you're foolish in your thinking. What a fool believes. A fool draws a conclusion based upon false facts, false premises, that there is no God. Then if there is no God, then I can live any way I choose to. There is no God, then I can make my own standards up. If there is no God, who do I answer to? Psalms 36. In Psalm 36, start at verse number 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. No fear, no terror of God in his eyes, even to the point of probably maybe not even believing there is a God. This morning, Robin was looking at Acts chapter 17. If I remember right, around about, verse 23 going down, Acts chapter 17. There in Athens, Paul finds a lot of people there who, quote, somewhat religious, who had so many different gods that they were worshiping. But at verse 23 and going down, "For that I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now is he worshiped with men's hand as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." As Paul talked with those people there, Athenians, he brings some things to their mind that, look here, the true and only real God made this world. He gives life to all. He haven't been fashioned by the hands of men. You don't have to be moved from place to place, as you read about in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah talks about in Jeremiah chapter 10, they take a tree, they chop it down, they fix it up, they carry it around, they become their God. Here Paul talks about the true and one and only God. A foolish man will believe that there is no God. What a fool believes. Secondly, as you stop and you think about some of the things that a foolish person will believe, the foolish man, he has drawn this conclusion that sin is not a serious matter. A foolish man believes that sin is not really a serious matter. How many discussions you've had with someone about some things that are sinful, and they just laugh it off like, "Oh, you can choose to do what you want to. That's really not right or wrong. It's just the way life is, and you choose to do this, I choose to do that. There's no standard for it." How often do you pick up the newspaper or watch television or even some of the music that we listen to, how they belittle sin? That's not really serious matter. There a song came out, country song, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And if you watch the video, it's two people, they're lonely, they're at this bar, and they get together and they go home and they sin. And the lady, as she sings the song, she says, "There's nothing wrong with this. It's just two people that's lonely." See, they didn't take what they had done serious. For see, foolishness of the foolish man, he looks at sin and he really doesn't take it serious. What a fool believes. A fool believes that sin is not a serious matter. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Starting at verse number 10. "When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. A warning there not to, follow the path of the wicked man, of the foolish man. He says that he rejoiced in doing evil. Rejoice in doing evil, not taking it serious, not realizing the evil that he or she may be involved in is sin, but rejoice in it. What a fool believes, that sin is not really a serious matter. Flip over a couple pages forward. Chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. To do evil, to practice that which is sin, is sport to a fool. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Folly is joy to the fool. For a foolish man, sin is fun, it's excitement, it's okay, it's all right. It's folly, silliness, because that's what he believes. What a fool believes. He believes that sin is not a serious matter. And that seems to be where this country is now. And there's a lot of educated people in this country, a lot of wise people to a point on certain things. But yet, this country uses all these big old words to try to downplay and avoid the word sin. And to downplay how horrible sin is. And try to dress sin up and hoping that the idea of being sin, being wrong, will just disappear. But see, when a fool believes, he believes that sin is not a serious matter. And he partakes of it. He lives in it. He enjoys it. And all the people that he meets, he wants to involve them and include them and try to persuade them. Hey, look, this is not really that bad. By the way, it's not bad at all. It's your choice. What a fool believes. Foolish man. He walks about believing that the matter of sin is not serious. And as you read through the proverb, you see the contrast, like black and white, wet and dry, tall and short, the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man desire understanding. He want to hear. He want to learn. He want to increase in learning. The foolish man doesn't care about understanding. Doesn't care about learning. He expresses everything that's on his heart. What a fool believes. First of all, he's on the wrong track when he makes the statement and obtain the philosophy that there is no God. And then secondly, he moves on to the point that sin is not a serious matter. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. Now, this is a passage that's stated twice. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25, one that most people know. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. For to the foolish man,
all the sinful things that he or she may be involved in, the very sinful nature of their life, the way they live, the thing they engage in, to them, according to their standards, it seemed okay. It's right unto them. Never considering, never thinking about that there is a higher standard that we must answer to. In John 12, 48, Jesus speaks about on that very last day that there's a standard that you and I will have to answer to. There's a standard that the atheists will answer to. There's a standard everybody in the world will answer to. One may stand there and plead on that day, I'm foolish, I didn't know. Doesn't matter, there's a standard. You got an answer to. What a fool believes. He believes that there is no God. He believes that sin is not really a serious matter. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he would make mention of some sin, and then he would draw a conclusion as to how serious they are. Galatians chapter 5, let's start at verse number 18. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He gives a whole list of sins that the foolish man would take very lightly, who probably does not even consider them to be sin, doesn't even think of them as being sin, who would think of them as being an option that you can choose or choose not to be a part of it. But Paul says to the church of Galatia, if you be part of these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty serious, isn't it? What a fool believes. He draws a conclusion and believes that sin is not a serious matter. Thirdly and last, foolish man makes this big statement. That not only that there is no God, not only that sin is not a serious matter, but thirdly that there is no eternal reward. There is no eternal life. I've talked with a lot of people over many years who've drawn the conclusion that now, there is no heaven, there is no hell. One guy said to me, well, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and hell is just living right here on earth. Oh, is he going to be surprised if it doesn't change his life? Some believe that once you die, that's the idea, just like you never existed. No afterlife, no reward, no heaven, no hell, no joy, no pain. Just like it. Never was born. In Acts chapter 23. You find the Sadducees. Sorry, verse number 8. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angels of spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. See, this type of thinking around for a long, long time. But what does Jesus say about the afterlife, about the rewards of the afterlife? Well, there's a very familiar passage that most of us in here probably know where it's at. When Jesus is talking, John chapter 14, he's talking with his disciples. He says, in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus makes a promise to the disciples. Hold your heads up. Keep trusting and believing in me, my Father's house, and there's a place there waiting for you. Jesus believed and talked in about the afterlife. It takes a foolish man to walk around living his life and expect nothing afterward. What a fool believes. He believes that there is no eternal reward, that there is no afterlife. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 36. For the last passage of the chapter says, John chapter 3, verse number 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." To believe and trust and follow in the Son, eternal life, eternal reward. To believe not, to trust and believe not to follow in Jesus, the wrath of God comes down upon those. What a fool believes. The foolish man, he walks about believing that there is no eternal reward. Hebrews 9:27, many times quote it. I've always kind of looked at Hebrews 9:27 from time to time as the plight of man. He's born, he lives, he's judged. But the foolish man would believe that there is no judgment. There is no reward given out. Acts chapter 17 again, that Robin was talking from at verse number 29 through 32. Paul's message in Acts chapter 17. Sorry, verse number 29. "Therefore, since we are offsprings of God, we ought to think that the divine nature is like gold, and we ought not think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art, man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'" Paul tells them there's a day appointed, and there's a judge appointed, and upon that day, the standard for judgment will be that of righteousness. Throughout the pages of the Bible, it talks about being judged, being rewarded for one's life. But the foolish one believes that life is right now. Live it as you choose to. Do what you want to, because there's no God to answer to. Sin is not a serious matter. Some would even go to the point of saying there is no such thing as sin, and just live that way. Because after all, there is no eternal reward. No heaven, no hell. What you have right now
you live it up. Get all the pleasures that you can. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. Go wherever you want to go. Spend your money any way you want to. Do whatever you like. The old Mac, Burger King slogan, have it your way. Enjoy life, because there is no reward. What a fool believes. Foolish man would believe these things. And come day of judgment, he will have to answer to that. In closing, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Paul writes to Timothy, tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, that God knows those who are his. Then it goes on, that very bottom part of the verse, it says, though the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. We who are Christians, we can heed these things, because we know that there is a God, and there's going to be a judgment. We know that sin is serious. If there's sin in your life and you're holding on to it and you okaying it, you're part of it, need not be foolish like the foolish man and take it lightly. But you need to repent. Turn from it. Change. Put it behind you. And work works of righteousness. And not be involved in iniquity. This evening, this may apply to you, and you may need to make some changes in your life by doing so as a Christian. You please do as we sing the invitation of song.